Some years ago, Fred Rogers was invited to address the National Press Club in Washington. When Fred Rogers stood up to speak, he said that he knew the room was filled with many of the best reporters in the nation, men and women who had achieved much. Rogers then took out a pocket watch and announced that he was going to keep 2 minutes of silence. And he invited everyone in the room to remember people in their past, parents, teachers, pastors, coaches, friends, and others who had made it possible for them to accomplish so much. And then Mr. Rogers stood there, looking at his watch and saying nothing. The room grew quiet as the seconds ticked away, and before Fred Rogers tucked away his watch, one could hear all around the room people sniffling as they were moved by the memories of those who had made sacrifices on their behalf and who had given them many gifts. What if we were to take a moment to reflect on how faith came to us? The faith that we have came into our lives because someone carried us to a font where the name of the triune God was announced over us and water was applied to us. Or because someone along the way, and probably many someones, had the courage and conviction to talk to us about Jesus Christ and God's love for the world in him. Somebody walked into a Sunday school room, or climbed into a pulpit, or dropped by your dorm room, or sat by you at a campfire, or held on to you during a really rough time in your life and talked to you about God. Life is God's gift to us, and what we do with our life is a gift that we give back to him. Those of us who teach in this place have a vocation, and those who learn in this place are seeking a vocation in which we treasure something of great value and hand it on from one generation to the next, from one person to another. We leave the greatest legacy of all to one another, the legacy of faith. As Paul writes in this first chapter of his second letter to Timothy, he is reminded of Timothy's family. Eunice, Timothy's mother, was married to a Gentile. Timothy had not been circumcised as a child. Yet she followed the good example of her mother Lois's faith. Paul can speak of the sincere faith of both. They believed in the God who revealed himself in the Old Testament. When Paul came to Lystra during his first missionary journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, they believed. The Holy Spirit had worked a sincere faith in their hearts, one that showed itself in the way they instructed Timothy in the Old Testament scriptures when he was still a child. He too came to believe. The scriptures were fulfilled in Christ. So Paul had no doubt about the sincerity of Timothy's faith. We see how the godly examples of faithful parents and grandparents can bring eternal blessings to children and children's children. They leave the greatest legacy of all, the legacy of faith. Timothy joined Paul for two of his missionary journeys as Paul's assistant and became to Paul like a son. Paul mentored Timothy in the faith and helped him to see himself as a leader for Christ in spite of his youthfulness and his somewhat timid personality. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we hear Paul encouraging Timothy to pass the baton of faith to other disciples who would in turn make disciples. Paul writes, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Here you can see a process of 4 generations. Paul to Timothy, and Timothy to other teachers who would be teachers of those they taught. They pass on the greatest legacy of all, the legacy of faith. Timothy proved to be invaluable to Paul and the mission to the Gentiles. In Philippians 2, Paul writes this about Timothy, "I have no one like him who would be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth you know. How like a son with a father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul was committed to leaving a legacy. It was not about him. It was about building up and empowering other people, raising up other leaders and teachers and witnesses for Jesus. Everything for Paul was about the good news being delivered to the people. Even if he was in prison, as he was while he was writing this letter to Timothy, then it was good, for other people would hear the gospel who might not have had another opportunity. Jesus had the same commitment to bringing his kingdom. For 3 years, Jesus prepared his disciples to take on his mission. He selected his disciples carefully. He spent time in prayer before he chose them. He intentionally invested his life in them. He spent time with them. He taught them. He nurtured them. He confronted them. He motivated them. He rebuked them. He inspired them. He sent them out and he coached them. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus hands over his mission to his disciples, telling them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so it is with the time that we spend with you. We teach you, we nurture you, we rebuke you, we prepare to send you out. But before we do, we have a conversation with you about the legacy we have handed to you. We call it a theological interview. It is our opportunity as a faculty to know that with the help of God, you are now apt to teach. Our exhortation to you is the same as Paul for Timothy. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Keep. Guard. What is so important that Paul calls for such careful keeping? What must be guarded against loss and danger? Answer: the words which Timothy had heard from Paul. They were a good deposit which Paul entrusted to Timothy, or rather, which God through Paul had entrusted to him. That is nothing else than the gospel, the word of God. This must be kept and guarded. Why? The reason is not simply to keep it in a safe place like a diamond in a safety deposit box. What Paul had entrusted to Timothy serves as a pattern of sound teaching. Only if Timothy and those he would train use Paul's words as pattern for their teaching would it be sound. In these pastoral letters that we've heard much of the last few days with these festival days that made up half of last week, we repeatedly hear Paul use the word sound in reference to faith and teaching. The word translated sound literally means healthy. Like nutritious food, our teaching must be sound, healthy, correct, according to a specific pattern. The pattern of soundness was Paul's own teaching. Was Paul perhaps arrogant in setting up his own words as the pattern? Not at all, for Paul knew that he taught by special inspiration of God. It is the writings of Paul and the apostles, of the prophets and evangelists that are inspired and serve as that infallible pattern. All teaching in the church and in the mission field must follow this pattern. Therefore, this pattern must be guarded carefully, says Paul. To lose the pattern is to lose the means that makes for healthy teaching, that makes for bringing others to know the gospel. Fortunately, the guarding of this good deposit does not depend on us mere humans. Left to ourselves with our natural human reason, we would soon spoil everything. Only with the help of, or better, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, is this accomplished. The church indeed needs to pray, "Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, that thy word, as becometh it, may be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name may abide unto the end. This is the legacy of faith, the greatest legacy of all, which we hand on from generation to generation. In the name of Jesus, amen.